Hello and welcome to this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. I'm Doug Kai, joined as always by Zach Cox. Zach, how are you doing this afternoon?
Not too bad, Doug. Not too bad. We're getting down to the real actual dead period in the NFL offseason. I know it's been the dead period for every other sport for the last 2 months, but the NFL is finally starting to wind down. It feels like the news is coming out slower and slower and slower. And then once we hit maybe early to mid-June, it's going to be off for good for at least a month. At least we think that's the way it usually goes down. But yeah, how are you doing? Are you kind of experiencing the same sort of news lull?
Yeah, for sure. I think that you know that that's the case because Logan Ryan somehow over the last week or two has seemingly turned into like the next like Patrick Mahomes or something. That's the way that his free agency is being covered at this point, about where is Logan Ryan going to sign. And no one likes Logan Ryan as a player more than I do, but even I think that the hype of his free agency right now has gotten turned up a little bit too high.
Also, that report that the Jets believe they are going to sign Logan Ryan, I'm not really sure what that means, what it means if a team believes they're going to sign a player. But yeah, that Logan Ryan is kind of the star of the NFL world right now, other than Cam Newton. Also very good on the McCourty Twins podcast last weekend. I would suggest any of you guys who didn't check that out, go take a look. He told some interesting old Patriots stories in there, so that's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, speaking of the Logan Ryan stuff, we'll get into what the main topic of this podcast will be, which is the Patriots 10 draft picks. But I do sort of wonder, with the fact that Logan Ryan is still floating out there, the Patriots might slightly regret the Jonathan Jones extension, which was, I think, 3 years, $21 million. If, you know, Logan Ryan's out there just to be had right now, Logan Ryan is probably a better nickel cornerback than Jonathan Jones. Obviously, Jonathan Jones does contribute as a gunner on special teams, but you'd think that if the Patriots could get Logan Ryan maybe even slightly cheaper than 3 years, $21 million, then maybe they jumped on that Jones extension a little bit too early.
Yeah, it's a little surprising that Logan Ryan is still kicking around. Not to make this entire episode the Logan Ryan episode, but he just had probably the best season of his career, at least from a statistical standpoint. He was super productive for Tennessee, and basically, according to him, Tennessee didn't want him, and now he's just still kind of floating around in free agency 2 months later. A little strange, and definitely a guy that I think the Patriots would have loved to have at the moment, even with how deep they are at cornerback.
For sure. We both did film reviews on all 10 Patriots draft picks. We've sort of just swapped back and forth. That's the way that we usually do this. That, you know, you spoke of the dead period in the NFL offseason, and that's certainly helped us fill the time. I know I've been staying extremely busy with those film reviews, even though I'm only doing them once every other day. But I figured that we would just sort of go through those and give our takeaways on each player, because I know that we've both watched a lot of film on the players that we sort of assigned to ourselves. I did Kyle Duggar, the Patriots' top pick, 37th overall out of Lenoir Ryan. He's the only draft pick the Patriots have not signed yet, which I certainly would not panic about, but the Patriots do have to actually free up some cap space before they can sign him. But I watched Kyle Duggar quite a bit, as many clips of Lenoir Ryan as you could possibly find. Also watched his Senior Bowl film. He's certainly an interesting player. I can see why the Patriots drafted him as high as they did, just because he's a size speed guy. He's 6'1", 6'2", 220 pounds, but he also runs a 4.4 40. So he played a lot of free safety in college at Lenoir Ryan, simply probably because he was the fastest player on the field. But at the Senior Bowl, I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable as a strong safety. I think ultimately the Patriots will probably use him more at strong safety. At the same time, I also think that, you know, if the Patriots are looking for a Daron Harmon replacement, if they want to stick a guy back there at free safety, maybe share the free safety role with Devin McCourty, he would probably be my choice on the Patriots roster simply because of his speed and size combination. So, you know, if Devin McCourty ever has to play closer to the line of scrimmage, then I think that Kyle Duggar could be the guy who moves back there. If the Patriots use cover two, I think that McCourty and Duggar could probably share the free safety responsibilities. But certainly an interesting player. I think he'll be very good covering tight ends. That's something that he showed at the Senior Bowl against some of the more talented players at that position, like Adam Trautman. Didn't do a ton of it in college, but I know you didn't watch quite as much of Kyle Duggar, but what was your assessment of him?
Yeah, I mean, everything you just laid out there is is pretty much what I saw as well. He's a very versatile defensive player. I think that's was really the theme of this entire draft for the Patriots. I think a lot of people are projecting him as that Patrick Chung type that's going to play closer to the line in a more of a strong safety hybrid linebacker type role. But this is a guy that ran a 4.4, so he does have the speed and athleticism to play on the back end in a free safety role. And I also found it interesting. I did a feature on Kyle Duggar two or three weeks back, talked to a couple of his college coaches. I went in with an angle of just how does a Division II guy end up in the NFL? And both of the coaches that I talked to, his head coach and his defensive back / special teams coach, almost every single question I asked, their answers eventually led back to his punt return ability. They loved him as a punt returner at Lenoir Rhyne. He had 6 punt return touchdowns, and watching some of his punt return highlights, he was a menace in the return game. Obviously, you're going to say, well, sure, he was going up against Division II special teamers, but looking at how the kind of young punt returners that have had success in the NFL lately, last year, 6 of the top 9 punt returners by return average came from outside of the FBS. That includes Gunnar Olszewski, who was a Division II player. It also includes Deontay Harris, who ended up being a first-team All-Pro as a rookie out of Assumption. So there is a precedent for these guys from the lower levels to come on and make an immediate impact as a punt returner. So even if Kyle Duggar is the 4th safety on the Patriots depth chart, maybe behind someone like Adrian Phillips this season, I still think he can make an impact in special teams there.
Kyle Duggar is the top jersey seller on the Patriots right now. I guess that probably happens when Tom Brady is off the team. But one more thing on Kyle Duggar before I let you touch on Josh Uche out of Michigan is that I like the Patrick Chung comparison simply because, you know, Chung's contract is pretty high this year. He's a guy that a lot of people have mentioned as a possible surprise cut. Once Chung is off the team, he's 32 years old, it's going to happen at some point. I do think that Duggar will probably slide into his strong safety role, but they do have slightly different versatility in the fact that Chung was that box player. He could play some strong safety linebacker, but could also slide into the slot. We saw him cover T.Y. Hilton a few years back against the Indianapolis Colts. I don't see Kyle Duggar in that same way. I think that he would play strong safety linebacker near the box. I can't see him playing as a slot, but I do think that he's got more versatility because of his speed to play free safety. So while Chung was a slot / strong safety / linebacker, I think that Duggar could be a linebacker / strong safety / free safety. So similar players, but that third role they play is just a little bit different in my mind.
Definitely. And Chung is a guy who obviously has dealt with several injuries over the last 2 years. He's definitely not as dominant against tight ends as he was a couple of years ago. So that could be a transition that potentially takes place sooner rather than later.
For sure. So you were the one who handled Josh Uche for the most part. I obviously watched him a little bit, but what were your main takeaways from Josh Uche out of Michigan? He was their second round pick, taken 60th overall out of Michigan.
Yeah, Josh Uche, the first word that gets thrown out is versatile, like a lot of players in this Patriots draft class. PFF called him the most versatile edge rusher in this year's class, but I didn't really understand how versatile he was for Michigan until I really dove into that tape. Yeah, he played on the edge. Yeah, he played as a stand-up inside or off the ball inside linebacker, but they also used him in the slot at times. He lined up almost as a safety in some plays. They'd walk him up over the guard a lot as a kind of a blitzer or a simulated pressure type situation. He played all over the field for Don Brown's defense. Don Brown actually in a conversation with our buddy Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald, he said, we had him in every package known to mankind. So he was a guy that really did a little bit of everything for Michigan, was an extremely good pass rusher, one of the best pass rushers in college football, led Michigan in sacks the last 2 seasons, even though he was never a full-time player at Michigan, which is kind of one of the big concerns with him coming out. He basically played around 10% of the snaps in his first couple seasons at Michigan. Then finally became a quote-unquote full-time guy last year. But even last year, he only played 52% of the snaps. So it's going to be a situation where you have to ask the question how he's going to hold up if the Patriots ask him to be a Jamie Collins or a Kyle Van Noy who stays on the field for 90% of the snaps. And that's probably not going to be his role right away. He'll probably work his way up to that. But it's definitely a question just because he hasn't done it yet. And another question that I had, just watching his tape, his production against really high quality competition was not as strong as it was against some weaker competition. Now, obviously, sacks and tackles for loss are not the only metrics that you should use to evaluate a pass rusher or a linebacker. It's easy to impact a game without racking up four sacks or without having a bunch of tackles for loss. But interestingly, last season, I believe Michigan played six games against teams in the top 25. Josh Uche was held without a sack or a tackle for loss in five of those games. Really actually struggled against Tristan Wirfs, who ended up being the 14th overall draft pick, one of the best tackles in this class. Wirfs was basically pancaking him left and right. Couldn't get anywhere close to the quarterback in that game. And he's going to be facing a step up in competition when he gets to the NFL. Basically, every tackle in the NFL was the best tackle on his college team. So those are going to be the two questions with Josh Uche. How is he going to be able to handle an expanded role, maybe some more snaps against the run, and how is he going to fare against top-level competition?
For sure, yeah. It's certainly interesting that, I mean, he's more of a projection player than the guy that I'll get into next, Anthony Jennings. And it's an imperfect comparison, and it's one that you don't necessarily want to make in regards to Josh Uche, but it's somewhat similar to when the Patriots drafted Geno Grissom and Trey Flowers in the same draft, just because Geno Grissom was a little bit more of a projection player, wasn't quite as productive in college as Trey Flowers, who wound up being the later pick. And you sort of had to figure out how to fit Geno Grissom into the defense, whereas the Patriots knew pretty well what they had in Trey Flowers. And obviously it didn't work out with Geno Grissom. It did work out with Trey Flowers. We'll see how it goes with Uche and Anthony Jennings. But speaking on Jennings, I think you have a very good sense of what Anthony Jennings is going to be in the Patriots defense. We talked about him a decent amount in our last podcast, so we'll make this a little bit shorter. But to me, he's the prototypical edge defender. He did play a little bit of inside linebacker, a lot of inside linebacker at the Senior Bowl. Did not look nearly as comfortable as he did at Alabama, playing both defensive end and outside linebacker. He does have some versatility and the fact that he can't play with his hand down, he can't play standing up, he can play, you know, dropping back into coverage a little bit. But he was a very productive pass rusher at Alabama against top-tier competition in the SEC, and he was a very good run defender. So he's a guy who potentially, if you view Josh Uche maybe right away as more of a situational player, Chase Winovich was more of a situational player last year at Michigan with the Patriots. I do think that Anthony Jennings potentially could be a day one starter. I don't think that he's got the same potential as guys like Josh Uche or maybe even Chase Winovich, just because of some of his limited athleticism. But you do know that he can set an edge against the run. He can get after the passer. He's a strong player, and he can offer some versatility. So I don't think that, you know, he might be an all-pro level talent, but you do know what you have in him. I think he'll be a consistent player, and he's one who might be able to play right away, especially coming from Alabama, since that is a little bit more of a complex defense.
Absolutely, and the fact that he'll also have the Patriots had the advice of Nick Saban when making this pick, as they do with any Alabama pick, so definitely got the good word there. And yeah, his Senior Bowl tape was strange. I don't know why they were playing him as an inside linebacker in that game, whether it was something where teams wanted to see if he could do that. I mean, he did a little bit of that at Alabama, but he was almost exclusively an edge player for the Crimson Tide. And I remember him saying in his introductory conference call that he expects the Patriots to use him similar to the way that he was used at Alabama. So I do think he'll be more of an edge type run, kind of an edge setter, run defender. And he was a productive pass rusher and pass deflector as well at Alabama. So he's definitely maybe, as you mentioned, maybe a little bit lower upside than Josh Uche, but probably a guy who shouldn't take too much of a learning curve to slot in there.
For sure. You are the one who took a good hard look at Devin Asiasi, another third round pick out of UCLA, also played at Michigan. So what'd you see from Asiasi?
Yeah, this is kind of similar to what we just mentioned with Uche and Jennings, where Jennings is maybe doesn't have as high of an upside, but is probably the safer bet to get in there sooner. That's how I view Devin Asiasi compared to Dalton Keene, the other tight end the Patriots drafted in the third round. Keene has gotten a lot more attention since the draft, one, because you and us in general talked about him so much before the draft, and two, because he's got a cool nickname. He played all over the field. He was really athletic, kind of blew up the combine. Asiasi didn't do quite that. He's not as flashy of a player, right, I guess, but he is very athletic for his size. I mean, watching him on tape, he almost looks like a big wide receiver at times when he's running routes. And normally that would be that sounds like the type of player that the Patriots would kind of shy away from. But he is not a player that almost was used exclusively in the slot and exclusively kind of split out. He played a lot in formation in a kind of traditional Y tight end in Chip Kelly's offense, which I also didn't realize until watching this, used four tight ends at a time on a lot of their plays, which is kind of crazy, kind of a throwback brand of football. But Asiasi has plenty of experience playing as a traditional type tight end, plenty of blocking experience, not really a Rob Gronkowski type like mauler in the blocking game, but he's very good at using his angles, especially when he would get out in space and kind of sort of lead block for a quarterback on a QB sweep or a wide receiver on screen pass or plays like that. He definitely more than held his own as a blocker. And I think he has a better chance than Keen to kind of be that. He could even be a week one starter in the Patriots offense, given the way that Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo performed last year. And one final stat that I found on him was he averaged 14.6 yards per reception last year. Only draft eligible tight ends that had higher marks than that, Hunter Bryant, Harrison Bryant, both of them were the move type, kind of skinnier, more sort of jumbo slot receiver types. That's not Asiasi. He's 15 pounds heavier than both of those guys. So I think that even though he's not getting a ton of buzz so far, I think he's a guy that can make a pretty quick impact.
For sure. I like Asiasi. I think that it makes sense that he was probably the higher picked tight end because of his production, especially in his final year at UCLA. Watching those two, Asiasi and Dalton Keene, who I'll get into in a second, back-to-back, it is interesting. Asiasi is a great athlete for his size, but he is more of that sort of lumbering tight end, I would say. And I mean, I would describe Rob Gronkowski in the same way. And obviously he's one of the most athletic tight ends in the history of football, but there were certainly times when, you know, Asiasi was running routes and looked like a big wide receiver, but for the most part they kind of move like tight ends. Dalton Keene, on the other hand, he's almost just as big. He's 6'4", 253 pounds, I think, but he sort of moves like a running back. So this is more about Keene's athleticism than it is detracting away from Devin Asiasi's. You just, between wearing number 29 and just the way that he moves, Dalton Keene is a very good mover. And surprisingly, maybe based on, you know, how he tested, his size in general, the way he looks on the field, he was actually still used more as a blocker than he was as a receiver at Virginia Tech. He played almost every snap. That's what Virginia Tech asks out of their tight end / H-backs. And he moved all over the field. He was playing, traditional Y tight end. He was playing flex tight end. He was playing as an H-back. He was playing as a fullback. He was split out wide at wide receiver. He was playing in the slot. For the most part, he was sort of a box offensive player. Whether he was at fullback, H-back, or flex, those were basically just shifted back a little bit further in the backfield. But there were definitely times when he was on the end of the line as a traditional tight end. So I'm curious to see how the Patriots choose to use him, because I really feel like he could probably be used at any one of those three spots, either as a flex tight end, a traditional Y tight end, or maybe even as a fullback, especially given the fact that James Devlin retired. I think that, you know, it's probably going to be Danny Vitale playing that fullback role. But given Dalton Keene's experience at fullback, given his experience as a lead blocker, I think he could take on some of those duties that James Devlin previously had. The one thing about Keene is that he's just not a very experienced route runner from what we saw at Virginia Tech. Most of the time that he was catching passes, he was sort of schemed to get open, whether that was on a screen pass or, you know, he would stay in the block and then kind of swirl out into a route. There was a lot of times, most of the receptions that you saw him make, he was sort of wide open. That being said, he did also flash really good hands at times, but he was just a little bit underutilized as a pass catcher. I think from talking to his head coach last year, Justin Fuentes, that was because he was such a good blocker and he was so valuable in that role. So I think he's got upside as a receiver, a very willing blocker. He is a guy who can kind of drive a guy back and pancake him, but he's slightly undersized at 6'4", 253 pounds. So, you know, maybe he doesn't have the same, you know, bulk as Devin Asiasi, but he certainly got the willingness to do it. And he is a little bit more of a fluid athlete when he does get the ball in his hands.
Yeah. You mentioned Keene's kind of undeveloped route running, I guess you could say, almost right around half of his receptions last year at Virginia Tech actually came behind the line of scrimmage. Yep. He was used a lot on these kind of throwback leak screen type plays, basically just a let's get the ball in his hands and let him run. And he did a very good job with those plays, but he will be asked to do a little bit more in the Patriots offense. I'd also be interested to see if this is sort of a Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez situation where Gronkowski, they both came in the same year in 2010. Gronkowski was used more as a traditional type tight end, and the Patriots took Hernandez and moved him around to a bunch of different spots. He even played some running back there, played in the backfield, kind of moved around as more of a chess piece type. It'll definitely be interesting to see the way the Patriots play these two guys off each other. And one final note on Asiasi that I forgot to sneak into before. You mentioned that he didn't have much production before his senior year, his final year at UCLA. Actually only caught 8 passes before that season and really only took off as a full kind of legitimate big-time passing threat or pass-catching threat in the final month of that season. Looking through his game logs, 34.6% of his career catches and 39.5% of his receiving yards came in his final 3 games. So there is definitely some projection required there, considering the sample size of him being a dynamic 100-yard, 8-catch receiver is still rather limited.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Keene's lack of production, but Keene had more receptions during his college career than Asiasi. Only, 40 fewer yards, and he had more touchdowns. Plus, he was used as a ball carrier 11 times for 33 yards. So, both of those guys sort of had limited production. You look at Asiasi, though, because he did at least have 1 year where he had 641 yards, whereas Keene topped out at 341 yards during his sophomore season. I like the comparison between, Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Keene Asiasi. I will say that Hernandez was definitely a little bit more athletic than Keene, whereas Keene is a bigger player who probably could contribute more as a blocker, just comparing them, obviously, on the field. You took a look at Marshall kicker Justin Rohrwasser, who the Patriots took in the 5th round. A little difficult to do a kicker film review, but you did, Ellie, you certainly found something interesting compared to what he said after the draft.
Yeah, obviously, as you mentioned, it's not difficult or it's not easy to dissect a kicker, especially a kicker who played at Marshall. Not a ton of Marshall film out there on YouTube, and neither of us are kicking mechanics experts. But Justin Rohrwasser did say after the draft that, or he said before the draft rather, in an interview with a West Virginia TV station, that he said, I believe it was 14 for 14 in the fourth quarter in overtime on field goals. So I said, oh, all right, cool. I'll try to find these kicks and see if I can at least watch those ones and see if there are any kind of commonalities. Turns out that's not the case. He actually attempted six field goals in the fourth quarter in his entire collegiate career, made 4 of them, and only had one field goal attempt in the final 2 minutes of any game. In his college career, that was a game winner at Western Kentucky that you've probably seen at some point, because it was kind of the crowning achievement of his collegiate career. So strange with that. I don't know if that was a weird edit from the TV station or something like that. I thought for a second he was talking about high school, but I looked back and that wasn't the case either. So I don't really know what was going on with that, but he did not go 14 for 14 on field goals in the fourth quarter and overtime in his college career. He actually went 4 for 6. But overall,
he was outside. What was his extra point numbers on in the fourth
quarter? He was 6 for 7 on fourth quarter extra points last season, which are shorter in college than they are in the NFL. College still uses the old method where you kick from the or snap from the 2 yard line. So kind of weird overall. Not really sure what the what was behind all of that. Have to ask him that when we convene for training camp, whenever that may be. Right. But overall, outside of that, he was a very productive kicker last season for Marshall. Went 18 for 21 overall. One of those kicks was blocked. 35 for 36 on extra points. 7 of 8 from 40-plus yards. 2 of 2 from 50-plus. Actually made 2 more 53-yarders before that game-winning 53-yarder because he got iced twice and successfully made all 3 of his kicks. Conference USA Special Teams Player of the Year last year, and also, according to reports, had a really good pro day workout. Marshall was one of the few teams that was able to sneak their pro day in before COVID-19 shut everything down. He went 12 for 13 on field goal attempts, including a 58-yarder, and his only miss was from 66. And according to Marshall's athletic website, it would have been good, but it went wide right. So he's got the leg. He's got he had a very good senior season. Not quite as clutch as he was letting on in that interview, but overall, he's definitely one of the more underrated college kickers coming into this draft because he was very effective last season.
For sure. I did Michigan guard Michael Onwenu. Interesting player in the fact that he did weigh more during his final season at Michigan than he does now. I think he was around 360 pounds at Michigan, dropped down to around 344 pounds at the NFL scouting combine. Didn't test. I don't think it would have gone overly well for him if he did test, but he's one of those guys where it's sort of similar to Trent Brown, where you're just not used to a player who's that big, you know, 360, 350, 340 pounds, whatever it is, even moving well enough to play football. And that's what you see in Michael Onwenu. He's an interesting pick for the Patriots because usually they do take smaller offensive linemen who are a little bit more athletically gifted, whereas Onwenu is a bigger guy, gets by a little bit more with his power and his length and his size. He can pull fairly well for a oversized offensive lineman, but once he gets out to the second level, understandably, he gets a little bit out of control, and it's hard for a 350-pound offensive lineman to effectively block, say, a 230-pound linebacker, simply because the linebacker can avoid a 350-pounder pretty well. But he was a fantastic pass blocker at Michigan, didn't allow a sack during his senior season there. I think he only allowed four pressures overall as a junior. And he wasn't quite as good as a run blocker, mostly just because he did get a little bit out of control at times. You know, once he did get out to the second level when he was a pulling guard. So that's something that where the Patriots might just need to get him a little bit more under control as a blocker. You even saw it where if he had to adjust it all on the line of scrimmage, he would just get a little bit out of control. And a lot of that, like I said, is because of the size. One thing that was perhaps the most impressive about him, and you saw it a lot as a pass blocker, is that when he was on the line of scrimmage, when he had to basically move in a phone booth, he was actually really quick. The lack of athleticism only really showed when he actually got out in space, but he could move pretty fast if he did have to adjust to a block just while he was there at guard. And I think that even in the NFL, it's going to be very difficult for a defensive lineman or a linebacker to get past Onwenu just because of his size and just because of his length. I think that if he, you know, it's not going to happen, but if he had to play tackle, it might be a little bit difficult because I think that faster pass rushers could probably get around him. But since he's got that protection on either side from a tackle and a center, I think, you know, even against NFL level talent, he's not going to get overpowered at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and when he said he played at around 206 or 368 pounds at Michigan, that's almost 60 pounds heavier than guys like Shaq Mason and Joe Tooney. So this was a very, very much of a kind of depart from the norm pick for the Patriots. They usually do, as you mentioned, like those smaller 300 to 310 pound interior offensive linemen. But it'll be interesting to see what weight Onwenu actually does play at, because he's lost close to 25 pounds since his the end of his final collegiate season. It'll be interesting to see whether the Patriots want to bring that down even further, or whether they're cool with him kind of slotting in there in the 350-ish pound range. That's what they've listed him at, 350 pounds. Right. So you would expect that they want him to be right around that area. He's the heaviest offensive lineman on the team by a significant amount. I think he's 15 pounds heavier than Marcus Cannon, even.
And Jermaine Illuminor.
And Jermaine Illuminor, right, yeah. Jermaine Illuminor is a heavier interior lineman as well. But, yeah, it's very, very interesting. As you mentioned, he was very, very productive for an offensive lineman at Michigan. So definitely an interesting pick.
I think, personally, just really quick, I don't think it makes sense to have him lose weight. I think it makes sense to keep him in the higher range, whether that is, you know, 335 to 360 pounds, somewhere around there, because he's never going to be as athletic as a Joe Tooney or a Shaq Mason or any of those type of guys. So you might as well have him be heavier and stronger if regardless he's just not going to move as well as some of those other guys. You took a look at Justin Heron, the other Patriots sixth round offensive lineman. What'd you see from him?
I did. He was announced as a guard when the Patriots drafted him, but he only played left tackle at Wake Forest. He was a four-year starter, started 51 games there, missed almost the entire 2018 season with a torn ACL, but other than that, made every start over 4 years in one game. And given the current state of the Patriots roster, I would be surprised if he doesn't play some tackle in training camp, because right now the Patriots only have four tackles on their roster. They have Marcus Cannon and Isaiah Wynn, who are projected as the starters, but both of whom have dealt with multiple injuries over the last couple of years. So they're far from sure things to be in there every week. And then you have Yodney Kajust, Yodney Kajust, yes. The Patriots draft pick last year, who still has not even practiced with the team. And Corey Cunningham, who played in one game last season and was a healthy scratch for the rest of the year. So not a ton of tackle depth on this Patriots team. I looked back, and at this point last year, even after Jared Valdir retired, they had seven tackles on their 90-man roster. They had eight at times during the preseason. So it's been surprising that they haven't added any pure tackles at all since the season ended. They didn't add any in free agency. They didn't draft any except for Heron, and they didn't sign any as undrafted free agents. So while there's still a chance they could bring in somebody like LaAdrian Waddle or one of these veterans who's still kicking around in free agency, I would expect that the Patriots, even if they view Heron as a long-term guard, because he is a lighter player than you typically see at tackle, I think he's going to get his shot to see what he can prove at that position as well. He was a good player for Wake Forest. It was the most interesting thing to me was that he tested incredibly poorly in the three cone drill and the short shuttle, which are the prime kind of quickness agility drills. Normally, if you see a tackle who tests really poorly in that, he's a guy that can't get his feet out quick enough and has guys beating him around the edge the entire time. That wasn't really the case with Justin Heron. When I watched him on tape, he actually looked very quick for a player at his position. So I don't know if he slipped in the drills, or I don't know if he just doesn't test well for whatever reason, but he did not look like a player who would have tested that poorly. His tape did not kind of jive with that. And again, he's only played left tackle up until the Senior Bowl, played some guard at the Senior Bowl. Didn't look totally comfortable at the Senior Bowl. There's some concerns about his play strength, which was definitely evident when he was taken on some bull rushes by some of the bigger defensive tackles. Jason Strobridge from North Carolina was able to kind of take him and toss him to the side. He did have some very good reps there as well, though. And I don't know, it would be a bit of a projection to expect him to contribute at guard right away after playing left tackle his entire career, never went in a 3-point stance in his collegiate career. And now with much less practice time this offseason, compared to previous off seasons, because the whole off season program is wiped out. I don't know. I think we would see him more at tackle this in training camp than at guard, honestly, just given the depth and given his skill set. But he does, if he can play both, that definitely continues to, that plays into the whole versatility theme of this entire draft class.
A lot of people did expect Isaiah Wynn to be a guard when he was drafted by the Patriots, and he's actually a smaller player than Heron, at least from a height and length standpoint. Isaiah Wynn has 33 3/8 inch arms. Justin Heron has 33.5 inch arms. Heron is about 6'4", 308. Isaiah Wynn was 6'3", 313 when coming out of Georgia. So
you also look at Joe Tooney as well, who was a guy who played tackle in college and then switched to guard at the NFL level. Very similar size-wise to Justin Heron. Tooney was 6'5", 304 before the draft, but his arms are more than an inch shorter than Justin Heron. So Heron does have the length to play tackle, even if he might not have the kind of girth and the core strength. But it's interesting to compare those three players, because they were kind of at a similar place coming out of college. It'll be interesting to see which way Heron goes in that kind of conversation. Also, has one of the strangest like pre-snap rituals that I've seen I don't know if you saw this video, but he, at least at the Senior Bowl, and I, from what people have said on Twitter, this is just what he does before every snap. He has this almost sort of robotic way of getting into making sure his feet and his shoulders and his head and his arms are all in the right spot. It's hypnotic almost. It's really interesting to watch. I call him the Iron Giant, so hopefully he sticks around so I can use that nickname more often. But if you haven't seen it, go over to my Twitter account and take a look, because it's fascinating. It looks like inhuman. I don't know how it works with his body structure, but very fascinating.
I sort of wonder if that would tip people off to whether he's going to be, you know, pass blocking or run blocking. Hopefully not for his case. But before I get into Cash Malawiya, I did talk to a scout about the three offensive linemen the Patriots took in Onwenu, Huron, and Dustin Woodard, who we'll get into a little bit later. And basically they were described to me as sort of potential practice squad type players. So I would say that probably one of these guys will wind up making the roster. It would be slightly surprising to me if Onwenu, Heron, and Woodard all made the team. I think that ideally probably only one of those guys will make it. But when you've got five day three picks like the Patriots had this year, you can sort of take those chances on some of those players. But the next guy that I watched was Wyoming linebacker Cash Malawiya. A lot of people expected the Patriots to take Logan Wilson in the draft, wound up passing on him to take Duggar and Uche, and they grabbed Malawiya. Malawiya's production was not overly impressive in college. I wrote today that he had half as many tackles, sacks, tackles for loss, pass breakups, interceptions, all of those things than Logan Wilson, despite the fact that he was a three-year starter at Wyoming. But I like his game. He's a little bit undersized at 5'11", 231 pounds, but I thought he played like a bigger player, had some good speed, good athleticism. I thought that he looked comfortable covering both running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. He was a good player moving forward as a run defender and moving backwards. Pretty impressive blitzer during his time at Wyoming as well. One thing I would say about him is that, you know, he's just sort of like a complete undersized linebacker, which I'm just not sure how well that works out in the NFL. There wasn't one thing about Cash Malawiya's game that really stood out to me. Maybe it was his athleticism, the ability to, you know, cover tight ends and linebackers. Maybe it was the blitzing that he showed. He was pretty good at getting off of blocks. He was just sort of pretty good at everything, which I'm not sure how that translates to the NFL coming from a Mountain West team like Wyoming, where he was playing against lower competition. But I think that his path to a roster spot would probably first come through special teams. As an actual defender, I liked watching him. He was fun to watch. He was a good, you know, downhill player. Like I said, he could kind of get by chasing some players down with his athleticism. But I would set the expectation for him as a defender as a backup. I think he's got the potential to be a little bit more than that because of his athleticism. But it's not like this is a guy who ran a 4.3 at his pro day. He was a 4.55 guy. So ultimately, probably a backup defender. But good enough where maybe he could be a spot starter in an ideal situation for him. But don't have super high hopes for him, but certainly a fun player to watch.
Yeah, he strikes me as a special teams type guy who could maybe eventually kind of grow into more of a defensive role. But his skill set overall just kind of screams special teams.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that he did run a 4.4, or not 4.4, rather, 4.53, I believe it was, at his pro day, which is a pretty solid time for a linebacker. If you're going to be kind of asking him to run down and cover kicks and whatnot. It's interesting that he was a quarterback in high school. The Patriots put out a few of their draft picks, high school highlights last week. And the ones for Malawiya were him running 50 yards for a touchdown as a quarterback, him intercepting a pass as, I believe, a safety, and taking it back 100 yards for a touchdown, and him blocking a punt and then returning that about 45 yards for a touchdown. So got some multifaceted talents there. But yeah, I definitely expect him to be if he makes the roster, because as a 6th-round pick, that's no guarantee. But I would be surprised if he's anything more than a special team, or at least kind of starting off his career.
I know that the it's not a big difference. The 4.53, I think, was cited by NFL.com. That was probably the faster of his 40s. I think officially he did run a 4.55 at Wyoming, which, and it's the same thing, but it's not For some reason, 4-5-3 just sounds better than 4-5-5.
It does.
But he was a super undersized high school player as a quarterback and safety. If you look at him from that time, he was really skinny. So he did bulk up during his time at Wyoming. Like I said, he weighed in. His official listed size was 6'2", 248, but he was 5'11", 231 at his pro day. So he is definitely on the smaller side for a linebacker. But like I said, didn't really play that way at Wyoming. He took on blocks well, got off blocks well, was a little bit of a downhill player. Not really the Elandon Roberts type, just because he was a little bit better moving backwards. But I don't know. Yeah, like you said, probably his path to a roster spot would be on special teams.
Definitely.
So you took a look at Dustin Woodard. I know that piece is coming out on Friday. Not sure if you're completely done with it. But what did you see from Dustin Woodard, the Patriots' lone seventh-round pick, an undersized center?
I am not completely done with it, but I have looked into him enough to comment on him, surely. Very similar. This guy, if Michael Onwenu was kind of a huge departure from what the Patriots look for in their interior linemen, Dustin Woodard was exactly what they look for in their interior lineman. He's basically David Andrews. I mean, at least physically. He wasn't invited to the combine, didn't have a pro day. So we don't have his exact measurements, but he was listed at 6'2", 291 at Memphis. Andrews measured in at 6'2", 295 at his pro day before the 2015 draft, obviously went undrafted and then became the Patriots starting center. And Woodard was a guy who, at least according to PFF, was a really productive player at multiple different positions in college. Pro Football Focus graded him as the second best center the second highest graded center in college football last season, behind only Temple's Matt Hennessy, who ended up being a third round pick. The year before, he was the highest graded interior lineman in the American Athletic Conference. That's while he was playing as a right guard. The year before that, he was the highest graded run blocking guard in the AAC, and that's when he was playing at left guard. This is a guy who you don't see too many players who are 4-year starters, but those starts come at three different positions. He started two seasons at left guard, switched to right guard, started there as a junior, then switched to center, and then started every single game there as a senior, didn't miss a game in his college career. I mean, as we mentioned, he's super undersized. He's going to be the smallest offensive lineman on the Patriots roster, but the way he played, as productive as he was, I actually think he has maybe even a better chance than Justin Herron to make the roster, just because the Patriots don't really have a backup center right now. It would probably be Yelda Froholt, who did a little bit of that in college, and they could always go out and bring back James Ferentz, who's still kicking around in free agency. But Woodard seems like he matches a lot of what the Patriots look for in that position. Not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy. I saw a couple plays on tape with him, of him just getting kind of blasted back by some full-on bull rushes. But overall, he was very good in pass protection. He's the kind of guy, you watch him and it always seems like the guy he's blocking winds up on the ground somehow. That's not always him kind of bowling him over, but it's a lot of times where he's able to use guys' momentum to move them out of the way, or just kind of direct his body in a way, or use his hands. Just, it seemed like on 25% of his plays, the guy that was trying to rush against him somehow ended up on the ground, which is a good thing for an offensive lineman. So we'll see how he looks this summer, but I think he's got a reasonably good chance of sticking around as a seventh round pick.
For sure. I was told that his player comp is really James Ferentz. So it's interesting that you mentioned James Ferentz, undersized center. We'll see, like you said, if he makes a team, but certainly has a chance as a backup at that position. We will wrap this up for now. We will be back next week with another Nesson Patriots podcast. But until then, keep it on Nesson.com for all of your Patriots coverage. Follow Zach on Twitter at ZachTalksNesson. Follow me on Twitter at Doug Kai. Perhaps we'll talk about some of the Patriots undrafted free agents next week, because as usual, some of those guys are a little bit more exciting than who the Patriots wound up taking on day 3 of the draft.